Well,
here we are. It's been quite a day already.
Yeah, it's another Saturday. It's an overcast Saturday here in New Jersey.
Do we have to tell them what the weather is like?
I don't think it sets the scene.
You're right. It's you know what? We're in planet Earth in my apartment, and the weather is down.
Overcast.
Overcast.
We had a hot day yesterday over here, and now it's
It's a good day to drink yellow water.
So Danny just drank yellow water.
I drank yellow water, but without knowing, because I'm colorblind.
Are you really colorblind?
Yeah. I mean, I could tell, like, major colors, but the shades, I'm not good.
Oh, okay, so...
Now I can see that it's yellow. But before, I wouldn't have noticed that.
Wow.
And it's not urine.
Right.
But we figured out... I mean, Ryan was horrified.
I'm looking, I'm like... It's a bottle like he bought from the store.
Let me wash this down with regular water.
Yeah, that's good. That's actual water. Though you might want to read the labels going forward. You might want to get something that says drinking water, not necessarily distilled water.
I'm not very smart. I was probably in a hurry, and I was in the automobile section, and I just picked this up, and then I drank it. Oh my God, I'm gonna die.
Is that for real?
No, I don't know where. I mean, I thought I got it. I thought this looked like this.
Okay.
So, but obviously, this does not look like this. And no. I just drank, half. I drank half a huge gallon of water, which is not fit for humans.
Right.
It's only noon. Oh, God damn it. What a week, man. Okay, I think I'm alive. I think I'm okay, though.
I think you'll be fine.
Yeah. But anyway, I mean, now I'm paranoid. I think I'm going to die any minute. And I should die on the podcast.
It's very fitting. It would be very fitting.
By the way, we have a few more listeners. I just did a play this week, and some people from the play were interested in my pod. So now we have more. We're getting people.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if this particular moment is going to be interesting to them that I drank yellow water.
Right.
But I mean, what other podcast does that? But anyway, it's been a pretty crazy week I haven't slept in I'm not sleeping very well. Mm. Yeah, like maybe 2-3 hours a night.
Damn.
And then I know we're going to get to your thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I want to just say at the beginning that I'm an idiot. I rented a car. My car's not here. I rented a car.
Okay.
You know why?
Why's that?
Because I have to drive an hour and a half each way today, so that's 3 hours in total.
Right.
And, by the way, I'm looking at the window. There's an old lady that is my neighbor.
Oh, yeah.
So the other day, I'm going to exercise class at 5 o'clock in the morning, and she's on the ground. She fell down, and I did not help her. She's on the ground, and I was in a hurry. And I saw her, it was like Seinfeld. She saw me, and I looked at her, and I just drove away. So terrible.
Yeah.
I know, but she's okay. She was alive.
That's good.
Yeah, so now every time she sees, I'm afraid she's gonna like knock on my door and be like, "You didn't help me."
Yeah.
But she cleared, it was so, I did feel bad, but we had like an eye connection, and I was just like, eh. I had to get the exercise class. So anyway, I just saw her, so she threw me. But, what was I saying before?
So you rented a car because you're driving an hour and a half.
Okay, I have a thing, and it's very neurotic, about miles, putting miles on the car. Part of it is because I do some Uber on the side, because, when I need money, I do some... And then, Uber is a stupid thing to do, because you're putting miles on the car, you're hardly making a profit. You're losing gas and miles. The only way you can make a profit is to drive a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I made a lot of money last week with Uber, but... I also put a lot of miles on the car. Mm-hmm. So now, I did a podcast yesterday with a woman, musician who actually is playing in Philadelphia tonight. Okay? So now I feel, and I want to go. I mean, it's kind of cool that I did a show with her, and now I get to meet her in person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of cool. And I bought a ticket. And I said to her yesterday that I'm coming to the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to go to the show.
Right.
I mean, but it's an hour and a half away, and that's a lot of miles. That's like 82 miles each way.
Right.
My car is still not that old, but it's going to get old real quick if I keep putting on the miles.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided in my brilliant mind, I didn't sleep. I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning today, and I was like, I'm going to rent a car just so I can not put the miles in the car. Guess how much the rental car cost me?
How much?
$200. They said, do you want insurance? I said, sure. This is $200. I'm just like, now I have no money in the checking account. Hardly, but at least the miles are going to be saved. And it's not smart. But that's and then I came back here and I drank yellow water. So it's been a great day so far. So now I have a car out there. It's an economy-sized car. It's like fits like a very little person. So I have to like drive like this.
Oh yeah.
And I don't want to drive an hour and a half each way, you know. But
yeah.
I'm doing it. So oh, is this the right road?
That's the right one.
I'm just drinking water again.
Oh my
God. So anyway, okay. So that happened. Also, yesterday I went to a comedy club again.
Oh yeah.
And my date was a 77-year-old lady. So I'm becoming like an escort service for elderly people.
Actually, it's funny because years ago, mm-hmm. we talked about starting an escort service.
Mm-hmm. I'm doing it and not getting paid for it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a woman that is very, she's kind of fun, and she's one of my fellow drivers at my job.
Mm-hmm.
Helene. Let's call her Helene because that's her real name.
Okay.
And then, but she shows up and she's very, I thought she was like, you know, late, like early 70s. I didn't realize she was 77. And she, and I always see her like sitting down. I've never seen her actually walk.
Mm-hmm.
So, and when I met her, she was like kind of hobbling and she had just got a shot in the arm. And
oh, yeah.
She has like back stuff. So it was kind of fun. And the comedian was amazing. You would have really, really liked this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he did a Rocky thing that was astonishing. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then, so anyway, so that was last night, but so I'm feeling a little discombobulated, and then I did the podcast, and then I needed editing, and then you came over, and then you helped me with that.
Mm.
So now I'm just gonna calm down.
Right.
I have a Diet Coke.
All right.
What's going on with you?
Yeah, you know, not much. It was a busy week at work.
Yeah, I know. On Thursday, you said Thursday was a big day, right? You had a long day at your...
This is one of those things where, like, you know, you have the day off for the holiday, Memorial Day.
Oh, right.
But you have to make up for that one lost day, like, the rest of the week. And I had other stuff, like, that I had to do for, like, end-of-the-month type shit that I'd never done before because I just started this new position.
Oh.
So it was a combination of doing all this shit for the first time.
Uh-huh.
And then the time crunch, it was just a busy week, like... I think there were a couple of days where I just didn't even take a lunch and I wound up staying late.
Uh-huh.
And I was just like done. So like this weekend, other than like seeing you,
yeah.
I'm like being a hermit for like the rest of the weekend.
You're not going to Philadelphia with me tonight?
Nah.
You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna pull this chair out because I feel very close to the wall here. I'm gonna sit a little I'm gonna sit here.
Okay.
And this will be the first time that I've ever done that.
Oh, that's good.
Like a therapist. It'll be like a therapist session.
Did you want to go lay on the couch?
No. I'm not going to like lay on that. We tried that once, not lying on the couch.
Right.
But I think it's better for sitting erect.
Oh, yeah.
Man. you know, because I want to treat this with respect that it deserves. Lying on the couch means like you're slouching, you're too relaxed.
Right.
I think our best material is when we're actually standing up and just moving around.
Right. Speaking of erections, so you had the thing with Gaber going on this week.
The thing with... Oh,
the text you said. You said you didn't tell me the whole conversation.
Okay. All right. So, okay. We're both recuperating from the Gaber experience.
Right.
I think it came out very well. But, you know, everything that comes out well in life, sometimes there's a price to pay.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you know, in broad strokes, there were some things on the podcast that he was uncomfortable with. right? He was telling a very funny story, which right. I'm actually very glad that he told the story because it's a great story.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there's a few, so basically, so, and it's, not, no, I didn't make him tell the story. It happened organically, right? Mm-hmm. So then, of course, the next day, he's, I think we talked about this already, that he said, I think we need to, you know, kind of work things out a little bit, maybe take some words out.
Right, but there were some, I think we covered that part in the last episode, yeah. But I think you'd said that there was stuff that so, he said yeah. to you that you hadn't told me. You
well, said, So the last piece of that puzzle is that you worked really hard on getting rid right. of the incriminating evidence.
Right.
And so the next day, I think everything's cool. Then I get like a
So he contacted you again after?
Yeah. Oh, so wow. So when I contacted you, I didn't mention that it came from him because I knew your brain would have exploded, and then you probably wouldn't have done it. So sweet. So okay, so he I don't know, calls me or like, you know, I'm going to Trenton, which is bad enough as it is, and I get a call saying or a message saying, please, you know, I need to reach you. So he heard the whole episode, and there was another part that we missed, right? Which is you did this already. So when this is done. This is a done deal. So I contacted you and I said, Ryan.
Oh, this was the additional edit later on. Yeah, oh, okay.
I said, Ryan, I heard the episode and I didn't tell you that he made a stink about, you know, the last piece. Because I thought if I approached you and said he's demanding, then you would have said no.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I don't deal with demands.
I know. Not he didn't demand, but, you know, right. but I thought in my mind.
it was a good sell. It was good.
Because we were very close to now it's perfect. Now, and it wasn't like he killed anybody. I mean, it's not. Mm-hmm. I don't want the audience to think that he strangled somebody, put them in the bathtub, and chopped them up.
Right.
That's not the incriminating evidence.
Right.
But anyway, so then you had to, and I'm not good with editing, so I would have, you know, I wouldn't have involved you with the editing but I'm an idiot and I can't do that kind of stuff. So that's the last piece of the puzzle. So I didn't tell you that it came from him.
But, okay.
And it was like, and my brain was exploding. I was like, are you kidding me? We missed like another sentence, you know?
So what the moral of the story is, folks, we hope that you enjoy the threesome experience as the trilogy that it is, because that's all there will be with Gaber. I am not.
I don't think so. I think we will have a contract next time.
We'll have a contract. Just legally binding contract, and there's going to be a script.
Ryan, just wait. Those episodes are going to get like hundreds and millions of people, and you're going to be the one saying there will be no more threesomes.
That's right. That's right.
All right, you know what? I'll do it with him, and then we'll just insert your voice like from afar. You know, like you'll be like, you know.
That'd be too much work.
And I'll do it. I'll figure it out. I'll hire an IT person.
Oh, yeah.
Because unfortunately,
we don't have a budget.
I know.
We're going to have British Mark do our marketing, but we have no
budget.
Budget, you know?
But here's the ironic thing about this, is that the episodes of them are actually very entertaining.
Yeah.
And so...
We'll have to at least give it a year.
No, I know. No, dude, 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He might be dead in 10 years.
Well, he's very concerned that, you know, he doesn't want to be a pain, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just, but the end result is that it turns out gold. It really does. I mean, there's like...
Well, I think it's actually kind of funny, that the first time, I feel like we switched sides here.
Okay.
I feel like the first time, I was like, man, all right, we'll definitely take care of it. You know, I don't want the guy to feel uncomfortable. And you're like, fuck him! This time around, you're like, yeah, man, you're like, we're on the opposite ends of the spectrum at this point.
Because I'm the one, I'm the middleman. I'm the one that gets the phone calls. I'm the one that gets the, you have to do the physical labor and I do the mental labor.
Right.
You know, so, which is fine. I really, at the end of the day.
If anything, I would feel like you should be the one that should be more, oh, fuck him!
Well, I know, but I listen to the episodes and they're fun to listen to.
Oh, they are.
So I'm sacrificing my sanity for the good of the show. Like I always have from fucking day one.
Look at you. You're sleeping 2 hours a night. You're drinking yellow water.
And that's right. I apologize to my brother from the first episode. From the first episode, I'm the one pushing the goddamn envelope.
Yeah.
But it's fine. It's it's just that, you know, I honestly and what's the word? Honestly, I genuinely don't want him to feel uncomfortable.
Right.
But I also kind of feel like, you know, it's crazy that, you know, it's just funny. At the end of the day, it's just funny that there's always something that happens that turns into this huge thing.
Yeah.
It happened from episode 3, and now it's happening in episode 100 and million 3, whatever.
That's right.
So I'm recovering from this. I mean, it's an ordeal, but I'm very grateful that it's out there, and I think, you know, British Mark will like it, and, you know, and that's all I care about is British Mark's happiness.
That's right. That's right.
I don't
right.
care. Oh, by the way, we also did an episode on my platform, on my podcast, and we combined the two, and I think we have 12 listeners from that.
Yeah, so, that's pretty sweet.
So with the minus 7 that we have from this.
Right, so we have total 5.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so let's trigger. We're talking about triggers.
Oh, triggers, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
one of those, you know, interesting thing about triggers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I gotta admit, I'm gonna say right off the bat.
Yeah.
I hate how a lot of shit's become like kind of like normalized in terms of like there are certain words and concepts that become like really popular and trendy. It's kind of like
growth.
I hate. Oh yeah.
I know you hate growth.
I hate the term.
You hate
because you know what it is. It's almost become like a business now where there's like a growth business where all people do, they promote the idea of growth constantly. And
mm-hmm.
Just,
mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I hear you.
So, I mean, on the other hand, it's nice to have like words that help us to if we're having an idea,
right.
It's nice to have words to sort of like.
Well, you have to have words to, because, you know, words are the building blocks of a language, you know.
Right. But. Right.
I'm just saying. So anyway, so do you not like the word trigger?
I don't like how a lot of things have become so popularized.
Yeah. And they're very therapeutic words.
Right.
Like personal development, growth, triggers.
And they're often pushed. And even like the idea of like I saw a Facebook post today. It was like, love yourself before loving the idea of someone loving you. And I'm just like, I can't do like the self-love bullshit anymore.
Well,
you know,
yeah, so. I also want to say that people that usually, I know people that just when they post stuff, they just do that kind of random,
yeah,
or they don't post anything about themselves,
yeah,
and I'm like, what's their motivation to do that? Do they want people to think that they're smart, or do they want to actually help somebody else?
Yeah.
Or do they have nothing else to post, so they just post like, you know, love thy neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, open the door. You know, look both ways. I should just post, you know, look both ways when you go into the street. Look to the right. Look to the left. That's what I should post that today.
Yeah, you should.
But yeah, I don't understand the motivation of those people.
That or when you go across the street, don't look. Trust. Yeah. See what happens.
That's right. Actually, we should say, like, if somebody's going to post about like a positive statement, just go into oncoming traffic.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That'll just tie the whole thing up with a yellow ribbon.
Believe that it will work out.
Yes, yes, yes. Just close your eyes blindly and stand in the middle of Abbey Road. But okay, so, but the word trigger, you know, I have triggers of my own that, you know, that are triggering.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know. It seems to work out that way.
Yeah.
So anyway, but why are you thinking of the word trigger?
Okay, so it's this word comes into play where, you know, it's, you know, the concept of triggers. It once you recognize what they are in your own life, it actually can be helpful.
Right.
You know, before, you know, you would encounter this something like outside yourself, and it brings about these like negative emotions and thoughts, and it's like you deal with it like your whole life, and then you realize you come to, if you're lucky enough, you're able to come to the point where, you know, you recognize it as like a pattern. You recognize that certain specific things will
trigger.
I was trying to think of a synonym.
To
affect you and like ignite these thoughts and feelings.
Yes, yes.
So
that's why people go to therapy, to find out these things so they don't repeat the past over and over again.
Right. And it's like it's cool then, because like then you're like, all right, I recognize this. So okay, now it's like, all right, Right. Something gets me down. What can I do about it?
Right.
But at the same time, you know, at the same, okay, so the thing I came across today, so right. My sister, she has like a stand. She makes macarons. She had a stand up at one of the local farmer markets. Mm-hmm. And I went today, make a purchase, talk to her for a little while, and then.
Did you buy like one macaroon?
No, I got a six pack, and what is she gave me one for free.
What is a macaroon? A nut?
No, it's like, so, you know, like, it's like two cookie things with like cream in the middle.
Oh, it's like a sugary dessert.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She's really good.
Okay.
And okay. I kind of felt bad because like it wasn't a good turnout when I was there.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I was actually driving. There's a lot of that kind of stuff around here too, like markets and farmers. Yeah. And mm-hmm. The turnout is not that good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a shame because it's one of those things where like the summertime's coming around. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of outdoor stuff, but she doesn't want to do anything like outdoors. I guess like it wouldn't, with the heat and the sun and everything, it wouldn't be good.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, so like we're there, and
I can't imagine how a macaroon triggered you.
Well, my common trigger is when I see an attractive woman with an ugly dude.
Oh, you don't like that.
I do not like that.
You do not like that.
I hate that shit.
That's because
here's the thing. So okay. and I saw them. I go to my sister and I'm like, I all these years I still don't get that. She's like, well, maybe he has like a bubbly personality. I'm like, I don't, you know, but that's how I naturally am.
No, Russ just sits there. He doesn't have a bubbly personality.
But see, well, I think she might. Well, anyway, so my whole thing is like, they say to be yourself,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. Myself is someone who doesn't have an outgoing person. I think I can be fun, but it takes a while to get to that point.
You can be fun.
But it's like my natural instinct, my natural go-to
right.
is
to be more of an observer.
Exactly. Like not really go out, put myself out there. So it's like
right.
being myself is counterintuitive to what I want. So it's like even like putting an effort would be going against myself. So it's like,
right.
I feel like that's another thing where this idea of being yourself is being pushed.
Right, and right. Yeah, well, eventually you come to not question yourself so much and just be authentic, you know? I mean, I think that's kind of happens. But I hear what you're saying. Like, mm-hmm. it's like you... So anyway, but how does that translate to the dude and the ugly dude and the...
Because it's like, okay. So apparently, it doesn't matter what a dude looks like. He can get, like...
Well, I think it's obvious that he has a large penis.
Well, I didn't ask him to take down his pants. So. But it's like it's one of those things where it seems like the laws of attraction
mm-hmm.
do not apply to me at all. It's almost as if, you know, I exist outside the laws of what attracts people to each other. It's like okay. Here's another thought I had.
Okay.
Right? Okay. So I feel like it's one of those things.
She's hot. My thing is open today to the, you know, what do you call that thing? The blinds.
The screen door
is usually kind of shaded, but today I decided to, you know, just look at that tree, and then so we had an attractive woman just pass, and she just like right when you said that you're never gonna find anyone, and she just passed. So I think that's a miracle from God.
Yeah. That's God teasing you, be like, fuck you.
You can look, but you better not touch.
That's right.
So
everyone else can, but not you, you son of a bitch.
Hey, listen, I'm not getting laid here either. So, I'm sorry, you were saying.
So it's one of those things. So you figure when I'm one of those people that have been given like different messages throughout my life in terms of whether or not I'm attractive. People tell me I'm attractive. Right. Then there are other times and they're like, dude, you're fucking hideous.
Who said that?
Well, maybe I tell myself that. But
right.
But there actually was a time in like third grade where I was looking out a window and like this girl, she was older than me. She was walking by with her friends and she looks right at me. She says, ew, he's ugly.
Wow.
And kept walking.
Wow.
And I had a lot of messages like that when I was a kid. You know?
But you were hideous when you were a kid. You said you were 400 pounds, right?
Yeah, I was pretty.
just kidding.
But it's one of those things where it's like I feel like you go through life, you get messages pretty. You get the idea early of what you are, and you're able to like roll with it.
Right.
So if you recognize early in life that you're ugly, you can bounce it out by like focusing on like your other qualities. Me, I've been given mixed messages, so I don't know what the fuck. I there are times I try to be like funny, I try to be outgoing, and that doesn't take. Then other times I'm just being myself, and no one gives a shit, and it's like.
But I hear you. But it's I know what you mean. But I also think that there comes a point where you're gonna stop kind of you're gonna be funny when you want to be funny, and you're gonna be serious when you want to be serious, and you're not gonna analyze yourself. The more comfortable you get in your own skin, the more you're not gonna care about what somebody what you think you should act like.
Mm.
But I totally understand what you're saying, because when
now see the interesting thing is that like I was good before I saw this. Before I saw the woman in the
Door.
Yeah, it's one of those things about the triggers. You know, it brings about those fucking bullshit.
Triggers bring back anything.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, like Rambo. You know, I mean, he killed. You know, he's got PTSD. You know,
yeah.
Because like he just goes into the woods, he gets triggered by something, and then the whole town dies. You know, so triggers can. I mean, dude, who knows what triggered my depression. Like, I still don't. I mean, I hooked up with Meg's girlfriend in Israel, you know? Sometimes triggers are very, very subliminal and unconscious, and you can't really even understand them.
Mm-hmm.
All you can do is deal with the reaction that you have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was interesting that what you saw today kind of triggered, you know, this. But, I mean, I used to worry so much about how I act and, like, what you just described. You actually... You know, you described it beautifully, really. You know, because I used to like, should I be serious with a girlfriend? Should I not be serious with a girlfriend? Like, how, you know, and it's like, and of course you have to kind of read the room sometimes, and like you kind of tailor your behavior to the room, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm at the point where I don't give a shit, you know? Like, I try not to be obnoxious too much, and I try not to be a total asshole, not to drink too much yellow water, you know?
Right, right.
But, like, at the end of the day, you're just gonna have to be as authentic, you know? You can't worry about... A lot of what you're talking about is external factors, worrying about being judged by external factors.
Mm-hmm.
People, whatever, friends... Right. And you don't even know if exactly what they're thinking. We never know. So a lot of it is a perfect storm of what you think they're thinking and what you're saying to yourself.
Right.
So I say don't worry about what anybody else thinks, because you don't really know what they're thinking anyway.
Right.
So that's a waste of time to kind of judge it. And I think you're actually getting there. You're actually getting...
Yeah.
You know, you're getting more comfortable with yourself. It's just like... I also suggest you don't go outside and don't look at couples ever.
Yeah.
You know? Or you should just go up to them and say, look, you're triggering me. Please get off my lawn. Mm. Were they on your lawn?
Nah. Yeah, I just...
Yeah, look, it is confusing, but it's like... But listen, I mean, all you have to do is... you don't have to do anything, really.
Yeah.
I mean, but I'm just thinking about what you said. It's like... It's interesting that just seeing, like, who knows? Maybe they're miserable together. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
And how hot was she? Was she like...
I definitely found her hot.
Was she hotter? I mean, was she that hot or was he that ugly?
It just didn't, like... Well, so here's... I guess it's one of those things where, you know, it's actually not uncommon, like, where I'm from. You know, you often see, like, a lot of, like... burly men with like attractive women. It's like, it's actually a really common thing.
Right.
And it's just.
Right.
Yeah, I just don't know.
I don't know. You know what? I don't even want a girlfriend right now. I really don't. I mean, we talk a lot about like having girlfriends and I mean, I'm very busy not sleeping and I don't know. The thing about triggers is that you can't analyze them too much, because it's like kind of an unconscious thing, you know?
Yeah.
So basically you want to be with a hot woman. Is that what you're saying?
I guess I want... There's a part of me that still clings to the belief that if I don't... If I'm not with someone, I'm not valuable. I'm not... I bring nothing of value.
If you're not with someone?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't been with someone in like 5 years. So am I not valuable?
Well, see, it only applies to me.
But do you feel... Wait, let me... I'm not understanding this. So you're only valuable if you have a girlfriend?
Right.
Oh, that's a crazy thought.
Mm.
No, it's not a crazy thought.
Because like, it's one of those things where it's like... You know, I didn't focus on my own happiness for a large part of my life. I always focused on other people. So
yeah. Right.
It's only now. I'm actually at a point now, and I become more conscious of. I'm actually at a point now of great opportunity because I am single, and I actually am able to maybe start living a life that I always probably should have lived because I just wasted way too much time.
Right.
Not focusing on myself.
Right.
And it's just...
Well, the episode, the name of the last episode, do you remember what it was? Opportunity within an opportunity.
Oh, right.
Something like that.
Yeah,
waste of time is a tough thing, you know? Like, so many... I mean, that's... Basically, I have a very few summers left. I mean, I don't want to say that every episode, but you know, but I say that now because now it's actually summer. So now I have even I have even fewer summers than I thought. You know,
right?
Like a few months ago, I had more summers ahead of me, and now I have less summers.
Well, technically, the summer hasn't even started yet.
But I feel the pressure. The pressure. You know how summers is a double-edged sword because I feel an immense amount of pressure to have a great summer. Right, mm-hmm. it's like having a great New Year's Eve, mm-hmm. which never ever happens. I don't think I've ever had a good New Year's Eve. So, where was I going with this? Summers, waste of time. Right, so you know what? I lost 2 years in my last depression. Two years. It's not 1 year. 2 years.
Yeah,
that's two. According to my calculations, that's two summers.
Right.
And two winters and two springs.
But I mean, like, not to, like...
Yeah.
Not to...
Negate that.
But I feel like at the same time, if you were to lose any two summers, those were the two summers to lose because no one did
anything. Well, yeah, it was good timing. Yeah. But even before that, I lost, you know, I mean, I feel like I lost half my childhood, you know? Like, half my childhood was spent in misery, you know? Like, so miserable that I had to be rescued by my family here to get me out of a country. Mm-hmm. That's how, I mean, that was a, you know, a crazy effort, you know? So yeah. And I look at like kids that are happy and I want them to not be happy. No, I don't, you know, let them be happy, you know, but, no, I don't know. Triggers are actually a positive thing. I know it sounds crazy, but it is a positive thing because it's like if we didn't have triggers, we wouldn't have obstacles to overcome, you know? And if we don't have obstacles to overcome, what are we?
I mean, I understand that. And actually, the older I get, the more I realize, the more I believe that would be fine, like, if we lived forever.
Right.
Because then it's like, all right, we then have time to work on this stuff. Right. And we can then reach a point where we live forever happy.
Right.
But it's like, life is temporary, and it's like...
Right.
Why, it really sucks, because you end up spending a large portion of it...
Right.
Unhappy, right. And it's like, then eventually you're dead, and then it's like...
Right.
The fuck was the point of all of it, you know?
Well, the point, yeah, I mean, the time thing... Well, see, this is a big dilemma among intellectual people, right? Is it better to have all the time in the world to, like, achieve everything that you ever wanted? Or if you knew you had all the time in the world, would you achieve anything? Because you were like, I'll do it tomorrow. I have all the time in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that we have a very finite, you know, time, some would say that it's that's the only thing that would motivate someone to do something with their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you knew you're going to, you know, have, like, a million fucking years ahead of you.
Right.
You know, stay at home, watch Curb Your Enthusiasm. But, like, you know, all 11 seasons, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, why would you do anything?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it really is kind of... also, I heard Springsteen, you know. Springsteen, can I just talk about...
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, you know, and his new... part of his concert right now is one acoustic song. It's called Last Man Standing, okay? And the premise is that he had a band from in 1965, 66, 67, right? 3 years. I guess one of his first bands. He's now the only living member of that band. They're all dead. Mm-hmm. So he went to the funeral of the last guy that was gonna die, and he's sitting there in the hospital, and he's like, I'm the last man standing of mm-hmm. this band. And then he talks about, like, life and death. And it's like, the only good thing about death is that it makes you realize you see life in a more clearer way because you know you're going to die. If you didn't know you were going to die, life would really not have a lot of meaning because mm-hmm. it would always be there.
Right.
Knowing that you're going to die mm-hmm. gives it a sense of urgency.
Mm-hmm.
So, in that sense, death is a positive thing.
Right.
So, and then he does this very, 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 like, beautiful song called Last Man Standing. That's the only time that he's talking on this tour, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but some people are like, God, Bruce used to talk all the time about girls, cars, and everything. And now he's, like, so old, he can only think about one thought, you know, death.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but the point is that without having the negative thing, you wouldn't have the positive thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. So, like, without, I don't know. Take it for what it's worth. I mean, you know, I ain't no shrink. I'm the guy sitting here drinking yellow water, you know?
Well, right now you're drinking Diet Coke.
I'm drinking Diet Coke. We usually have beer, but because I have to drive my rental car.
Yeah.
By the way, my rental car is so... Oh, by the way, have you noticed anything? You notice how clean this place is?
Oh, yeah, it's very nice and clean. Right? You got the nice text the other day, the surprise visit in the...
Well, this added to my crazy week, if I may.
Oh, yeah.
So I get inspections, not of my, you know, I've been inspected in my body lately with my heart and everything. My cancer, like all my problems.
Yeah.
Not my toes, I've got toe fungus. And now, so this place gets inspected once a year. Usually you get notice like 2-3 weeks in advance or something like that. I didn't get any notice this time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they didn't send the email. So I'm like, and I have to do this, I did this crazy play this week where I did this French accent. It was so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like Schwarzenegger. It was bad, very bad. But actually,
Schwarzenegger was Austrian.
Yes, it was. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So why, when I speak French, does it turn out to be, it's not good?
Right.
But they said I should do a bad French accent.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'm your man.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, this is going to be a, and it was a weird play too. So it's like, the only good thing about this play is, if I could make the audience laugh with my accent, that would be the only, in my mind. It actually turned out well. And not me. The audience liked the play. Here's the thing. So, you know, I work on plays. You rehearse them. You saw the one, that psych one, where I hold myself for 2 months memorizing that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hardly anybody came. This night is like a playwright, you know, playwrights, you know, local playwrights. And people just reading, not even, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Full house.
Wow.
What's that about?
I think part was, it was also free. Like, I looked it up online. Like, it was, they said right. $5, like, a donation would be encouraged, but it was free.
But is that the difference between $0 and $20? Is that,
yeah.
Is that?
I don't know. I mean, like, I get.
I don't know. I was shocked. It was like a full house for like these two very kind of, I wouldn't say they were bad plays, but they're, but anyway. It's an example of, like, not being able to predict something. The audience really liked the play.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked.
Wow.
Not that it's a terrible play. It's just, it's a little hard to understand.
Mm-hmm.
My French accent was ridiculous. It was like a SNL sketch on acid, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the audience was, like, totally digging it. So it's like, you can't like, predict anything.
Wow.
You know? So anyway, so...
Okay. Oh, I can predict.
Predict what?
Oh, I can just predict.
Well, I can predict. But sometimes you work on something and you don't know how it's going to be received. You know what I mean? Like I didn't. Like sometimes I think I'm doing a play. It's going to kill. It's going to be great. And it's like okay. Like it doesn't kill. Like it's okay. And then this thing that I thought was going to bomb. You know, people. Were, so I was very shocked.
Yeah.
you know, I was very rough. Anyway, so that day, I'm like trying to get into my head about how I'm gonna like do this thing. I get a email that morning. Oh, you're being inspected today. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I don't have time to clean. I have to drive the old people to the hospitals. Mm-hmm. So then I'm like, now I'm scrambling for cleaning people. You know, so I have like a roster of clean people. I call everybody I know. It's under cleaning, under my contacts, you know, and then nobody's available. And I talked to, finally I reached, so four, they said they could be here at four, I'm so good, like 1 p.m. and they're showing up here at four. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, you got to, because I don't want them to know that I cleaned the place with, you know, I want them to think that I cleaned it, you know.
Right.
So anyway, so then suddenly it's like, you know, I'm working, and then like a really crazy day. I had this woman passenger.
Oh yeah.
I don't think I told you the story. So you know, last week I had the
the faller.
I had the fallen woman that was so agitated. She was so angry that I wasn't close to the curb that she fell down.
Yeah.
So now this week I had this woman. She goes. She gets it. She's already. I could tell that she's. You could just tell from the first second if the person's gonna be weird. Mm-hmm. So she gets in the car, and then I start to drive. It's like it's always like the ones that are strange that have the longest drives. It's like a 25 minute. Usually they're like 10, 15 minutes. This was like 25 minutes from Hamilton to another place. And she's like, she goes, I have to get. I can't make this shit up. She goes, I have to get a shot in my eye. I'm like, oh okay. I'm like, well, you know, a lot of people get shots in the eye, you know. She goes, oh, she's like making sounds, like, oh, like as if she's like having sex or something. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, can you stay in one lane and not go to any other lanes the whole way there? Because I'm scared of cars. She said she's scared of cars. I'm driving on the highway. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, so now I'm driving 45 miles an hour on a major highway, staying in one lane because the passenger is afraid that I'm gonna go. I couldn't, I took 35 minutes to get there. So that's it. That's the whole story. She's like, I'm scared of. She goes in the car. She goes, I'm scared of cars. I don't have a punchline here, but you know, it's just very, very, very annoying. So then, I have, you know, like three Mexicans in here, you know, like cleaning. Not that there's anything wrong being Mexican, but, you know, it's just like, it was, usually it's like one person cleaning, and now there's like three people.
Right.
So.
I wonder if they left behind that yellow water.
Oh my God, are they trying to kill me?
I don't know.
No, I think I bought that. I'm so smart that I actually bought. I thought it looked like that. Look at them side by side.
Oh my God.
No, this looks like urine. It really does.
It really does.
I know, but it doesn't smell like urine.
It makes me wonder if that was like your urine bottle from that one play.
No, I washed that out. I washed that out.
Why didn't you just throw it out?
What, the whole bottle?
I mean,
no, I threw out the urine.
You threw out the...
I kept the bottle.
Why would you keep the bottle?
Because it's like a special bottle for urine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I spent like...
Do you use it specifically for urine?
Well, sometimes I shit in it too. No.
I was just wondering, like, do you rinse it out and then like pour water in it and then drink from it?
No, I.
Do you reuse the bottle for drinking purposes?
No, I never drink from my urine bottle.
Okay.
Let's get that straight.
All right.
It's a urine bottle. You look on Amazon, it says a bottle for urine. It's like a special, it's like a $12 bottle. And I only have it. It's like, I don't need it. It's just that. Why do we talk about these things? Okay, because you know, I just want to tell people that I was doing a play that didn't have a bathroom accessibility.
Right.
I would have had to use the same bathroom as the audience. So I bought two urine bottles. Oh, and then I would, you know, do my thing. But, you know, I never drank from it. But it's tilted. It looks like, you know, it's not like that. It's a cute little urine bottle.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, how do we get to the urine bottles?
I don't know. Because you're talking about the cleaning people.
Oh, yeah. So now, and it always happens on a show day. Mm-hmm. Like now I have all these people, and so usually it's like one person, and I don't know what to do with myself Because they're all over the place vacuuming and like talking and, you know, Mexican. And I'm like, you know, and then I'm going to do this crazy French accent. And this, and the whole day was just like bizarre, you know. Yeah. This whole week has been bizarre. So now I have to go to Philadelphia. I don't want, and I rented a car that I don't need. I spent more money on this rental car than, but I'm not putting miles on the car. So, okay, is it crazy for me to worry about the miles on the car? I mean, like, you know, I just feel like I don't know if I'm going to be able to buy another car ever again. You know what I mean?
I think it's a legitimate concern.
But here's the thing. It's so neurotic because it's not that many miles. It's not like I go to, you know, upstate New York sometimes. That's 4-hour drive. Mm. excuse me. That's like, you know, this is like 82 miles each way.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really need to buy a rental car. But this morning I was so enraged. So then I go over there and I tell them, how much is it to, she goes, this is the only car in the lot. It's a tiny, tiny. And I'm like, and you know, but if you get it, if you buy it there, it's $200. But if you order it online, it's $150. It's like crazy.
Uh-huh.
So then now I have to like get it online and whatever. I'm paying, you know, it's just money. It's just money. Like I think I'm so crazy that I think I'd rather spend the money than put miles on the car.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense? Like, it doesn't make sense, but I don't.
It made sense at the time.
It did make sense.
It also could have been a result of your sleep deprived brain.
I guess. I just get, you know, do you ever get like amped up and you get this idea in your head and you got to do it? You know what I mean? I don't mean like kill somebody, but I mean like, you know.
I feel like I'm missing a part of the brain that
is impulsive.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That or whatever it is that like operates it was like driven out of me as a kid,
mm-hmm.
like being constantly told to be careful and
right. Just, but in a way, that's good because like you're logical and you're not gonna spend $200.
At the same time, it's also what's made me pretty much not really live. Because I'm always second-guessing everything.
So start living.
It's kind of also one of those things where it's hard to just start because it's so ingrained.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I do things here and there.
Right.
Oh, God.
Well, I could drive you to the Gothel's Bridge if you want.
Nah, it's just fucking...
Yeah, it's all right. Whatever.
I'm just at the end of the week where it's just...
Right.
Yeah, I'm yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. The end of the week is, and then what's, do you think it's the new position that's getting you down?
Well, I mean, it's definitely been busy because of that, but I've also recognized that's going to go away as the more I do it.
Do you have like new people to deal with?
You know, well, a little bit, but you know, it's also to the point where I feel like I haven't really relaxed in a while, and it's, I need to relax.
So how are you going to relax?
By just simply not doing anything. I'm just going to go home and just... I'm going to enjoy the rest of the weekend, low-key, like I always used to do. And
right, right.
Just relax. And
right.
It's also one of those things where it's like, you know, I finished paying off one of my, like, million loans today. And it's, so it's brought me to, like, almost have no money. And it's like, it's in the long run, it's going to be a good thing.
Right, right, right.
It's one of those things where it's like, because you can't do everything all at once... Mm-hmm. You have to develop patience, and it's... Right. I've never been the most patient person. It's just...
Right, right, right. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. I have money. I don't... You know, money sucks. Money problems are sucky. Well, all right. Well, you know, sometimes the weekends are not easy.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. Let me just see here if there's anything else we should hit here. Where's my thing? Oh. No. You know what I wanted to say?
What's that?
All right. So last night, I'm seeing this guy at the comedy. So I had a date with a 77-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And first of all... And it was better than other women, I guess.
Yeah.
Because she talked a lot, you know. I don't think she... I mean, it's not... I mean, she knows... The question, I'm very baffled by people that actually talk a lot without literally taking a breath.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that at 77 you would start slowing down a little bit, you know what I mean? But the comic, so this is actually a very, he was, you know, I've been going to this comic club for the last, you know, three, mm-hmm. four, you know, and this guy's amazing. Like, he's there tonight, and I would, if I wasn't going to this thing, I would go see him again.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it. He was so, what's the word? Not professional. Like, he was just, most comics, you could see them think.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I sold this joke, and now, all right, so what else do we have? Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, you could see them going to the transition. You didn't see this guy transition ever.
Oh, wow.
And he did 45 minutes, because there's like three people. Last night, there was just two.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And the first guy, it was okay. He was from Staten Island, first guy. He was doing, like, New York, Staten Island.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, my wife this, my wife that. Mm-hmm. A lot of people talk about their wife, you know?
Yeah.
But this guy, so he did a longer set than usual, I guess, because it was on. And I just couldn't believe. And he was really funny, like, consistently, but not pushing it, like... I can't even remember one joke because there was so many.
We said the Rocky one was really good.
Well, so he does material, and then about 30 minutes in, he's like, I could also do impressions. And then he was brilliant. And he does Rocky talking to the trainer.
Oh, yeah.
What's his name?
Oh,
Mickey.
Yeah.
And he does the voices, like, I could do Stallone a little bit. He does it, like, totally good.
Oh, wow.
And then he does the Mickey even better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I'm like, he must have been doing this for like 30. I mean, he's like, I don't know, maybe in the 60s. I don't know. So I talked to him, but then he does like Elton John as an alien. brilliant, brilliant. And like, I was like, wow. And like, even, I was really, really impressed with this guy. Mm-hmm. His name is, I forgot his name, Billy Garan.
Oh, okay.
So then later, I'm always fascinated by comedians. I'm just fascinated by what a life. You know, you go, you travel,
mm-hmm.
and then you just say, it's like with a band, you have a band, you know? But he's like alone.
Mm-hmm.
But he lives in Monroe, so it's not a, mm-hmm. it's not a big. So then I talked to him later, and he's like very down to earth, very cool. But he said he got married late in life, 10 years ago, and his wife gets a brain aneurysm. So he can't really, that now his whole life is dealing with his wife's brain aneurysm.
Wow.
You know, it's crazy. So you have this guy, and then I talked to him about, like, you know, how far did he get? He goes, yeah, I was in LA, he was trying to do, you know, comedy shit, and he was trying to be an actor, and that didn't quite work. So he's down on his luck. I mean, he's like, you know, he's playing, I mean, really, people that play this comedy show, they're not doing great. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like Princeton, a basement. You've been there. So it just made me think that this guy is so, some people are like mediocre and they deserve to be mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy is brilliant and he's in a mediocre place.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife's got like,
yeah.
I mean, he said all of his money goes to the aides that are working.
Mm-hmm.
It's heartbreaking, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy, crazy. But anyway, I mean, it just made me think about all these people that are so talented and they're not anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, then it's not, I mean, he's, you know, I mean, I guess you get to a point where you accept things in life.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, but he's great.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it just makes you, it's kind of like with my singer-songwriters, like some of them I think are brilliant and then they just play to a small crowd, you know, and then what's that? It's tough, man. It's just like, but then anyway, that was wild because you should see him, man.
Yeah.
I mean, the Rocky thing is just for that alone.
Mm-hmm.
So,
damn.
All right. Anyway, let's stop this. I think
we can wrap up early.
Yeah.
I got nothing else.
Yeah. All right. I don't even know what to call this episode.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
When? We have to publish it soon.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
All right.
Yep.
All right.
All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning in.
Keep chasing the sun.
Bye.